Recording in progress.
Well, good evening, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. What a nice group we have in the room. And I'm so happy to see you here. And what a nice group we have online. I can't see you there. Maybe I could get myself off of here and have a gallery view. Is that possible, Shafi?
Yes, if you go up to the upper right-hand corner to see view.
Got it.
There's a little
yeah,
view
got
and
it.
Confirm that.
Okay. Here you are. So, tonight's a little different from all other nights. For one thing, we're going to end the evening with a ceremony. And so we will allow a half an hour for that ceremony. And also, we're thinking of our dear friend Jeremy Levy tonight, and he's in the hospital, and we'll be having surgery tomorrow. So we'll be chanting for him as well as our other beloveds after my talk. So this week, I would like to talk about the nun Patachara and two of her disciples, Chandra and Uttama. And I'll also talk about Kisa Gotami. So if you weren't here last week, I'm doing four talks on the Terigata, the women ancestors from India, very early. And last week, I spoke about Damodina and Bada Kundala Kesa. So this week it's Patachara and her disciples and Kisa Gotami. So both Patachara and Kisa Gotami lived through unspeakable tragedies, which drove each of them mad. So the question that we think of as we listen to their story is, how did Patachara and Kisa Gotami, for example, find a way to turn their searing, disabling suffering into benefit for us to learn about 2,500 years later? In both women's stories, need some more room. How's that? In both women's stories, they met someone who saw them, who offered them practice that allowed their own innate wisdom and compassion to emerge. And they practiced with others of like mind. This allowed their stories and teachings to resonate through the centuries. So first, Patachara. She was born into a banker's family in the town of Savatthi. When she was a young woman, her parents arranged for her to marry a young man of equal rank. But one of the family servants was her lover. And defying her parents' wishes, she ran away with him, and they set up their household in a remote place. Months passed, and she became pregnant. As her pregnancy came to term, she wanted to go to her parents' home and have their care at the time of the birth. Her husband procrastinated until one day, while he was out, she left. When he soon discovered what had happened, he followed Patachara and overtook her midway to Savatthi. there, labor came on, and she gave birth safely. And together, the two of them returned back to their own home. Later, a second child was conceived. And once more, Patachara wanted to return to her parents' home. And once more, her husband was reluctant. Again, she left without him, taking their child. And again, he pursued her and caught up with her as her labor was just beginning. But this time, a great storm rose up. Patachara needed shelter, and her husband, while hurriedly cutting grass and stakes in the forest to build a hut, was bitten by a poisonous snake and died. Thinking herself abandoned, Patachara gave birth alone and passed the night lying over her children, using her body to protect them from the storm. In the morning, she discovered her husband's body, and she was paralyzed with grief for a day and a night. When the second day dawned, she again took up the journey to her parents' home. She came to a swollen river with floodwaters. Too weak to carry both children across at once, she took the newborn first. On the far side, she placed the child on a pile of leaves and grasses, but was so reluctant to leave him that she looked behind her again and again. Halfway back across the river, she saw a hawk seize the newborn and carry him off. The hawk ignored Patachara's screams, but the older child, thinking his mother was calling him, came up to the riverbank, fell in, and drowned. In utter despair, all Patachara could do was to resume her journey. On the outskirts of Savatthi, she met a townsman and asked him whether he knew her family. He said, "Don't ask me about them. Ask me anything else." "But there is nothing else I care about," she said. "You saw how the god reigned all last night," he said to her. "Your family's house collapsed and fell on them, and they are all burning in one pyre. The banker, his wife, and their son, your brother. You can see the smoke on the distant hill. With that, Patachara went out of her mind. She wandered around in circles. Her clothing became ragged and fell off. Her name, which means cloak walker, refers to this. The townspeople drove her off with sticks and rubbish. One day, still mad, still walking around in circles, she entered the Jeta Grove where Buddha was preaching. Those who had gathered to listen wanted to keep her away, but Gautama followed her and put himself in her path. As she encountered him, he said, "Sister, recover your presence of mind." And she recovered her presence of mind. She saw that she was naked, and a man threw her his outer robe. "Help me," she said to the Buddha, and she told him her terrible story. He replied, "Patachara, don't think you have come to someone who can help you. In your many lives, you have shed more tears for the dead than there is water in the four oceans." This made her grief less heavy. He went on to say that when she herself went to another world, a world of madness, no kin could help. that even in this world, no kin could help. And he spoke of the Buddha's path. When he finished, she asked if she could be ordained. Together, they went to the community of nuns, and she was accepted there. Later on, she became enlightened, and here is her enlightenment poem. When they plow their fields and sow seeds in the earth, when they care for their wives and children, young Brahmins find riches. But I've done everything right, followed the rule of my teacher. I'm not lazy or proud. Why haven't I found peace? Bathing my feet, I watch the bathwater spill down the slope. I concentrated my mind the way you train a good horse. Then I took a lamp and went into my cell, checked the bed and sat down on it. I took a needle and pushed the wick down. When the lamp went out, my mind was freed. I'll read it again. When they plow their fields and sow seeds in the earth, when they care for their wives and children, young Brahmins find riches. But I've done everything right, followed the rule of my teacher. I'm not lazy or proud. Why haven't I found peace? Bathing my feet, I watch the bathwater spill down the slope. I concentrated my mind the way you train a good horse. Then I took a lamp and went into my cell, checked the bed, and sat down on it. I took a needle and pushed the wick down. When the lamp went out, my mind was freed. I love this one stanza. I want to take another look. Bathing my feet, I watched the bath water spill down the slope. I concentrated my mind the way you train a good horse. These are some very good and specific meditation instructions. And we are all good horses. We concentrate the mind and the body. With the eyes, we watch bath water spilling down the slope. With the ears, we hear the splashing of water down the slope. Just sensing light and sound, thoughts, sensations, miraculous and ordinary. Such a lovely description of our practice, that verse. Like a good horse. Patachara, Susan Murcutt tells us, probably had the largest number of followers other than Mahaprajapati. She was very well known. She is referred to in the Theragata more than any other woman, with phrases like, I met a nun I knew I could trust. And she pulled out the arrow hidden in my heart. There's a group of, she had a group of nuns that were not, that we don't know the names of. And this group of nuns wrote a poem. It's one of the only three group poems in the whole Theragata. Where did I put my books? Right here. I wanted to read you a paragraph from something that I mentioned last week. When I was talking about how there is the poems in this book, the Enlightenment poems, have a lot of stock phrases like the lamp going out. Things like that. It's just a stock phrase for enlightenment. So the poems, when we read the poems, we see the kind of stock phrases, but we also see something personal about that particular woman. And there is, and Susan Murcutt was making the point that from the point of view of practitioners of that time, the idea that enlightenment belongs to me and that it's personal to me is just that the idea did not exist. And the idea that ownership of art and writing was something at play also did not exist. So I wanted to read a paragraph about that. In Buddhist religious communities from ancient days to the present, there is a different concept of the individual and of private ownership. There is no such thing as private ownership of religious experience. And this being the case, imitation is not considered a lack of individual creativity or imagination, but good practice. Hence, stock phrases and even stock stanzas become common in the teaching devices that bring home the fact that a great teacher's or the Buddha's experience is one's own. Oh, I love that. So just I remember learning that when I studied Chinese, that there's a sense in Chinese that the more you use a phrase, a stock phrase, the more valuable it becomes. We're kind of the opposite. The more we use something, the more trite it becomes. But the just a reaffirming that something that all of us share is of value in these ancient cultures. So now I'll tell you about one of her disciples, Chandra. So Chandra also, I better keep track of my time here. Okay. Chandra also encountered Buddha's path through loss and suffering. She was from a wealthy family who lost all its wealth when she was just a child. Then their village was infected with snake blast disease. Because it was called that, because it was believed to come from the breath of a poisonous snake. First, the lizards and the other reptiles would die, then the larger animals, and then the humans. Chandra's whole family died. And without support, she was forced to beg for food. Patachara found her in such a state and empathized with her and gave her food and teaching. And she became Patachara's disciple. And there's a poem of hers. So last week online, I was holding up these books. This is Susan Murcutt's book, and I think that there's a later printing of it. But anyway, this is her early 90s printing. I think they're about the same. And this is a book that was, I think, just published this year or last year, called The First Free Women, and it's a collection of poems. And this one is Chandra's poem. Chandra, the moon. Do you remember when disease came to your village? Of your family, you were the only one to survive. You were just a girl. For years, you begged for your food. Then a nun took you in. You told her your story, and she held you while you wept. Then she told you her story, and you wept with her. Her name was Patachara. You went everywhere she went, and soon left behind all that she had left behind. When you were young, you learned what it was to be truly alone. Now you know for yourself, this freedom is something altogether different from that. Want to hear it again? I think the same poem is in Susan Murcutt's book, but this translation is so lovely that it's, I'm not going to read this one, I'm choosing to read this one. So the moon. Do you remember when disease came to your village? of your family, you were the only one to survive. You were just a girl. For years, you begged for your food. Then a nun took you in. You told her your story, and she held you while you wept. Then she told you her story, and you wept with her. Her name was Patachara. You went everywhere she went, and soon left behind all that she had left behind. When you were young, you learned what it was to be truly alone. Now you know for yourself, this freedom is something altogether different from that. So now Patachara's other disciple that I want to talk about is Uttama. She also came from a banker's family in Savatthi. I think it must be Savatthi. Meeting Patachara was a turning point in her life, and she became a nun. However, Uttama had a lot of difficulty making progress on the path. Perceiving her confusion, Patachara was able to utter some words which gave Uttama an opening and subsequently led to her enlightenment. In the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha says that if any person practices the Dharma for 7 years, or 7 months, or 7 weeks, or even 7 days, with utmost resolution and sincerity, highest knowledge here and now is possible. In her poem, Uttama refers to this idea specifically as she describes her subsequent enlightenment. And I'm sure that this 7 days, the seven years and the 7 months and the 7 weeks and the 7 days is where our 7 day sesshin came from. So here's Uttama's poem. 4 or 5 times I left my cell. I had no peace of mind, no controls over my mind. I went to a nun I thought I could trust. She taught me the Dharma, the elements of body and mind, the nature of perception, and earth, water, fire, and wind. I heard what she said and sat cross-legged 7 days full of joy. When on the 8th I stretched my feet out, the great dark was torn apart. I'll read that again. 4 or 5 times I left my cell. I had no peace of mind, no controls over my mind. I went to a nun I thought I could trust. She taught me the Dharma, the elements of body and mind, the nature of perception, and earth, water, fire, and wind. I heard what she said and sat cross-legged 7 days, full of joy. When on the 8th, I stretched my feet out, the great dark was torn apart. It's interesting that the light and dark images are reversed in Patachara's poem. So I think we find that all over the place in our texts, that sometimes it's light and sometimes it's dark that signifies enlightenment. Endarkenment. So for Uttama, the basis of her practice, the work that sustained her, was this phrase, the elements of body and mind, the nature of perception, and earth, water, fire, and wind. That's very similar to Patachara's poem, in which she's, you know, the first stanza, she's whining about how come everybody else gets everything they want and she doesn't. And then finally she sees the water running down the slope and returns just to her present moment of life, like a well-trained horse. Anyway, I think that these words of of Pattachara and of Uttama are really helpful for us, and Chandra also. They're portable and versatile. They're good for meditation. They're good for driving in the car. A good break when we peel ourselves away from cell phones and computers. They're good in our relationships. A gift to us from Uttama through her teacher, Pattachara. So now I'd like to tell you about Kisa Gotami. And Kisa Gotami is probably the one nun that you know about. You probably know her story of the mustard seed. But what I've learned is that the story of Pattachara and Kisa Gotami, and there's a couple of other Pattacharas, tends to get mixed up. So, I mean, we're talking about 2,500 years ago, and, you know, the records, especially the records of women, were not kept very carefully. And so what we have are fragments. And so these, you know, the tragedies of these women, who knows which tragedy belongs to which woman? And but the tragedy of these women's lives is something that we find that the women of this time have in common. Kisa Gotami, here's her story. She was the cousin of Siddhartha. She was Buddha's cousin. She was married to a wealthy banker's son. Seemed to be a lot of bankers in these stories. Where did I? And one, maybe it's in this story. There's one story that says there were 38,000 banker families in the town of Savatthi or something like that. So anyway, she was married to a wealthy banker's son and mistreated by her in-laws. But she gained status in the family when she gave birth to a son. But her child died when he was a toddler, and Kisa Gotami went mad. She carried her dead son from house to house, asking for medicine to bring her son back to life. Finally, someone suggested that she go to the Buddha, which she did. And the Buddha said, "Go and bring me a white mustard seed from a house where no one has died." She immediately rushed off to do this task that would bring back her son. She went from house to house asking for a mustard seed and learning that there was no mustard seed to be had because in each house someone had died. The truth struck home and her sanity returned. She said, "Little son, I thought that death had happened to you alone. But it is not to you alone. It is common to all people." She went to the forest and gently put her son down there. Then returning to the Buddha, Kisa Gotami requested and received ordination. Kisa Gotami was well known for her asceticism. So this reminds us a little bit of Bhada Kundala Kesa. There was in various Buddhist ancestors, both men and women, there was a tradition of asceticism. And as I'm reading through this and thinking about it, it probably was the influence of the Jains who were contemporaries and tended to be more ascetic. So, anyway, Kisa Gotami was well known for her asceticism. In fact, Kisa means thin. And we chant the name of Kisa Gotami and these other women in most Zen centers. The teaching of the story is potent medicine for suffering, suffering the searing pain of death of a loved one. I'm thinking of the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, a couple of years ago, for example, after which one of the women who lost her child that day ran for mayor of Uvalde last fall. She did not win, but she's probably not done. And she still serves as an example and a reminder of the nature of the human heart. As the heart heals itself, it heals the hearts of beings far and wide. May it be so, as our hearts are breaking in this troubled world. And as Dhammadina taught us last week, meditation is the focusing of the heart. So that's what I have to share with you tonight. And I've brought copies of the names of the women ancestors because someone last week asked if we could chant them. So I thought, let's chant them. So I don't have enough for everybody, you'll have to share, but maybe you could run around and pass them out. I think there's about 18 copies. And I think Shafi has it to pull up. I think rather than chanting these in the formal way that we would in the Zendo, I suspect some of you have never seen these before. Let's just take it slowly and just use our regular voices. Everybody good? It looks like there's an extra there, is that right? Everybody have one to look on? So, Norman, could you give yours to Sue? Because there's three people on one paper over there. I still have the eye of a school teacher. So, again, we'll just take it slowly. We won't try to do a chanty thing. We'll just read the names. Names of women ancestors. Acharya Mahaprajapati, Acharya Mita, Acharya Yasodhara, Acharya Tisa, Acharya Sujata, Acharya Sundarinanda, Acharya Vasdeshi, Acharya Patachara, Acharya Vishaka, Acharya Singalaka Mata, Acharya Kema, Acharya Upalavana, Acharya Samavati, Acharya Uttara, Acharya Chanda, Acharya Uttama, Acharya Bada Kundala Kesa, Acharya Nandutara, Acharya Dantika, Acharya Sakula, Acharya Shiha, Acharya Dhammadina, Acharya Kisagotami, Acharya Ubiri, Acharya Isadasi, Acharya Badakapalani, Acharya Mutta, Acharya Sumana, Acharya Dhamma, Acharya Chitta, Acharya Anupama, Acharya Sukha, Acharya Sama, Acharya Utpalavarna, Acharya Srimala, Acharya Tsongchur, Acharya Lingzhao, Acharya Moshan, Liaoran, Acharya Liutiamo, Acharya Miaoxin, Acharya Daoshan, Acharya Shurji, Acharya Shuran, Acharya Huiguang, Acharya Kongshur Dharan, Acharya Yudaoho, Acharya Huiwan, Acharya Fadong, Acharya Wenzhao, Acharya Miaodao, Acharya Zhirtong, Acharya Zenxin, Acharya Zenzo, Acharya Eizen, Acharya Rionen, Acharya Egi, Acharya Shogaku, Acharya Ekan, Acharya Shozen, Acharya Mokufusonen, Acharya Myosho Enkan, Acharya Ekyu, Acharya Eshun Acharya Soshin, Acharya Soitsu, Acharya Chimono. Thank you. So I'm sorry I don't have a copy for everyone to take home, but hold on to what you do have and take it. So we have this ceremony to do, but it looks to me like we have about 20 minutes for small groups and discussion. Yes? I don't know. Does anyone know what acharya means? I'm sure it means
teacher.
Blessed
teacher.
Yeah.
Teacher.
Should we have small groups or should we have a discussion or both?
Both.
Both? Should we start with a discussion? No, we should start with small groups. Okay, so let's start with small groups. And since we have 20 minutes and we want to reserve some time for comments at the end, if there's three people, 3 minutes each, is that reasonable? Okay. 3 minutes? Yeah. And, you know, I don't have a specific question. Just, I would say, talk to each other about your impressions and what has moved you about these women's lives last week or this week or any other women that you know about from our tradition. What about these women's practice and these women's lives has especially moved you and perhaps inspired you in your practice?